ready, Ms. Long?
Yes, we are.
All right, welcome everybody. Remind the public that the meetings are being recorded. Are there any public, is there any public comment on non-agenda items? Hearing none, the consent agenda, is there anything any board member would like removed from the consent agenda? If not, is there a motion?
Motion to approve consent agenda.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Let's just go down to item two, discussion and decision on the trustee election.
Yes, so Chuck Tate, your position is ending in May, I believe. And there is an election. Election on May 7th, 2019 for that trustee position. There is a resolution, Pete, that was provided by the election department that you have in your hands.
I do, I've got the date, it's got 2019 here. Should I scratch that out for 2018?
2019, I think.
It's correct.
Should I sign it today?
Oh, did I? Yeah, I would say 18.
Okay. So we all hope, Chuck, you're going to run again so we don't have to have an election, save the taxpayers' money, and us a bunch of heartburn having a new trustee.
I beg your pardon?
You won't be new then, so you won't cause any heartburn.
What about the last 3 months?
Is that it, Lon, on that?
You need to vote on this resolution.
Right, and does the resolution, we don't all have copies of that.
I'm sorry.
Does the resolution specify when the applications have to be submitted?
Filing deadline is February 11th, 2019. Right. This filing start date is December 13th.
Could we have you remind us of that filing deadline and remind the public that we make that announcement again at the January meeting?
Sure. And I will have nomination forms on the website and here at the station. And then we also need to, the election department suggests putting it in the paper, noticing it in the paper. Mm-hmm. So I will do that.
Trustee discussion.
I guess we're all on the same page. I have to meet downtown, so I stop by, and the closing is 5 p.m. on the February 2nd. People can fill these out now, and my suggestion tonight was to see if it was on the website so that we, as a board, the public has every opportunity to look and see whether or not they want to run or not or whatever, and so I'd like to see it on the website if we could.
Yeah.
The form, yes. And I think I heard you say that you're doing that.
Yes.
And you have copies already?
It's not done yet, but I will do that.
Do you need another copy of this?
No, I have the original.
Do you need one, Walt? I meant to say, Chuck. Do you have your copy?
Did you say February 2nd or 11th?
11th.
February 11th is when.
February 11th.
So you got a couple months to think about it.
I do.
Any more board discussion? Any public comment? Okay, we're going to have a motion to approve the resolution to hold an election.
Motion to approve resolution number 2018-03 regarding trustee election.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, thank you all. What do you think, Walt? Right to the financial dashboard, huh?
Sure.
Okay. Before Walt jumps in here, go ahead, Walt, just jump in and then we'll get trustee.
Lana's got it up. And we've made some changes. I worked with Rosie on this, and we made some changes from the previous one. So
Maybe easier if I just go up there. And there are a couple of things that were changed. So if we start off on looking at this upper left quadrant, we changed that to show, reflect annual total expenses, where Rosie was having some problems with getting the software, the QuickBooks software, and what she was trying to do here without having to manually input them. And so what we decided is we'll just do it as it'll be the actual annual budget and the actual year-to-date amount. And so obviously when we start the fiscal year, a lot of these are going to be small little slivers, but we figured that we wanted it to be consistent with the written financial statements, and it probably is more reflective of, you know, where we are, because we have an idea at this point in time what our expenditures are. And always bear in mind too, when these, the information that's being presented to the board is usually a month, at least a month behind, because Rosie, what is presented to the board for approval is based on what reconciled amounts. And so we're always presenting information that's been reconciled. And so we're, because of the way the statements come from the county, we're always at least a month behind. And so you always have to take that into consideration when you're looking at the financial decision. On the cash receipts, basically this shows you know, what we've realized, what the prior year cash receipts are, so we can see how the monies are coming in and make that comparison. The general obligation bond, this has pretty much been the same format, you know, since we started. So it shows the total amount outstanding, what's been paid, when the last payment will be due, the amount that we have in reserve, and so on. So that part's pretty straightforward. With regard to other reserves, we have the apparatus reserve, and that's for replacement. It's a capital reserve account for replacement. And so this mirrors what's presented on the balance sheet. And we basically show how full the bathtub is in our reserves for apparatus. That's this first bar. The second bar is the average annual expense. And what we did there, it's just pretty simple. Based on the replacement spreadsheet that Jason and Brian put together, we took the average expenditure across that time horizon, that planning horizon, and that's how we arrived at this number, simply a simple average, no fancy discounting or anything else, just a simple average. And then the current year contribution. And so it gives us an idea of whether we're contributing more or less than that average expense. Are we draining our bathtub over time, maintaining it, so that's pretty straightforward. The other two, Pete brought up a good comment with regard to nomenclature here. We may want to improve this, but these two bars represent what we've saved for future capital improvements, i.e. adding a new building, so they can be a new building, or architectural drawings for a building, that sort of thing, or it can be purchasing a piece of equipment to add to the existing fleet. So that would be an improvement part. So it could be apparatus or building. The building repair and replacement, those are monies that we've put away specifically to address, say, putting new siding on, roofing, replacement of windows on an old building, that sort of thing. So we were talking just a little bit earlier here. He came up with a good suggestion that, and we can see what the board thinks here and what the public thinks, but maybe split this into two separate charts. So we'd have one chart that would deal with capital improvement, and then a second chart, independent chart, that would be the building repair and replacement. And that might be a little bit more explicit and less confusing, and having those next to each other. And so we can, I think that's, I don't know, are there any questions before we have a discussion about changes? And then all of these data items are, well, this side is, these are numbers that are supplied by staff, non-financial.
You know, I don't really like the term apparatus reserve. It's a little limited for what that fund is.
Suggestions?
Capital replacement.
Well, capital replacement, I would suggest that that's too broad in the sense, how does that capture these? Because these are capital replacement also, or this is capital replacement. Capital replacement for building and repair.
I guess maybe capital replacement apparatus slash equipment. Because there is a ton of equipment in that item.
In that left column, there's a ton of equipment.
Yeah, tons. Excavation equipment. Okay. And I mean, there's a ton of equipment in that.
So, yeah, I think that's a good suggestion.
Yeah. Just to make it more descriptive.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of along the lines of what we are looking at doing and splitting these up. So it'd be capital replacement, or capital improvement reserve, capital replacement for building. This would be capital replacement equipment.
Yeah, because there's nothing in this fund for any new additional equipment. It is all replacement. I think it's good for people to know that that fund is simply to replace the current stock that we have, not to add to it additional apparatus.
Right.
Right. Yeah. This is where an asterisk and a couple sentences would be super helpful. Mm-hmm. Because we've had, I think, very productive discussion last time when you had your three little things going on there about how to really define these things, and I think that that's just super important so people understand that. So if you called that thing on the left apparatus and equipment and equipment replacement fund, right? Mm-hmm. then you have an asterisk that says this is to fund only the replacement of essentially worn out equipment, worn out or broken. It does not include, for example, the purchase of a new piece of apparatus.
Yeah. I guess, and I think a great reference, you know, including that asterisk would be, we can have our capital replacement plan on the website, and people, there can be, say, you know, please see our capital replacement plan. They can see everything that's on that capital replacement plan, and it'll spell out all of it.
So the only thing bear in mind, the more we add to this, the more we're scrunching on, you know, we're moving, the more we put on there, the more we move away from a very parsimonious, sort of dashboard. So we want to, I think, be aware of that, how much information we want to put on there.
Yeah, but you could just put an asterisk there that right up at the top says, please see page 2 for explanations. Because I'm with you, Walt. I think the financial dashboard should be the financial dashboard, right? But you know, if this is going to be a digital document that lives primarily on the website and, you know, we reproduce for the meetings, then you can roll the explanation further down it. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
On a separate page. Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah, that would make sense.
Because I think we've really pretty much nailed it on the left there. We can muck around with what we want to call it, and we want to call it plainly what it is. And then if we take your suggestion for the charts on the right, create a third chart. We need to do the same thing. Name those things clearly, what they're talking about. And as you and I discussed right before the meeting, with regard to the facilities, building replacement and repair, we should model the same bathtub kind of a thing. Because mm-hmm. There's gonna be some industry standard about what percent you should be putting screwing away every year to fix the leaky roof. And we'll just figure that out.
So right, and I guess that's where I would like, my recommendation would be that we, as a board, provide direction to staff to research what that percentage should be so that we can do exactly that, come up with what that amount is, and what by some industry standard, whether it's a percentage of your total capital assets, building assets, and so on, or whatever the industry standard is, so to speak. And it might not be within the fire department industry, I'm talking about commercial structures, but the percentages that should be allocated towards repair of, you know, siding, or replacement of siding, and the window replacement, that sort of thing, over the lifetime of a building.
And what do you guys think about, I'm not trying to address the issues of, I think parsimony was the term you used, but of keeping this, what if we had a second page that was almost like a glossary? Mm-hmm. And it went through and said general obligation bond. Currently at this time, the only bond that we have is for Sourdough Station. And just a quick little explanation, and then when we have, you know, apparatus and equipment replacement, we can list some items such as, mm-hmm. extrication tools and medical equipment and AEDs and radios and all the things that, that kind of fit in there. And then that can say, please see our capital replacement plan on our website. And then this can be a nice clean page. And then yes, there can be a second page of an explanation.
So I think that could be part of board, yeah, board direction.
Yeah,
to,
yeah, we can do that pretty easily. Yeah.
One sort of interesting question. Sorry for hogging so much time here, guys. I will certainly give you your share of time. Is, Jason, where would it make the most sense in those two buckets that are apparatus and capital, put the building aside now because that's a separate kind of thing, to be putting more money? So should we be sticking more money in a capital reserve fund that would be used for the purchase of brand new fire trucks someday? Or, right, because it's all fungible, we could move money all around these accounts tomorrow. Because it would strike me that somebody would say, man, you've got almost 900K in an apparatus replacement fund. That's a lot of money. Shouldn't you be shoving some of that into your plans to replace that rolling stock rather than just fixing a transmission or something like that?
Well, that is the replacement. Yeah, not a repair. We budget repairs separately. So we do have to bear that in mind.
Okay, so I was misunderstanding what Jason was saying. So where's the money coming when we have to buy a new truck?
It's in addition to our current fleet.
Yes.
Addition to the current fleet or replacement of the current fleet? Like the truck that we're buying right now?
Is in that one on the left.
This one.
Because it's a replacement. So addition comes out of that capital fund.
Yeah, so if we have four engines, if we want a fifth engine,
okay,
then that would come as a capital improvement.
Right.
Got it.
Right. Yeah, and then we anything that has to do with a transmission replacement or that sort of thing, that's under our repair budget.
Got it.
Which is under just annual operating.
Right, annual operating. Board members, questions, thoughts?
I have some. Like very much the way this is going and improving. My simple first suggestion is I would prefer for visuality is to have a little darker, even page looking border for each of these blocks, because these each have a separate title and it kind of brings them together and says this is what this is instead of blending across the page. That's maybe more my thing. But when I look at this and I'm still dealing with what are the names of things, and I go back to our Bible, which has account numbers, and we have an apparatus replacement for $797,000, which is our green deal, then apparatus reserve versus apparatus replacement, I think that's a question you're talking about, how to identify that. But I would like to see somehow this tie two ways, and maybe it's easier to change the names of these to these or vice versa. For example, the general general LT, and I'm assuming LT is long term, debt accounting group is what on this sheet?
Long term debt is this.
Okay, then over here on the general long term debt, this says general obligation bond, and he had a question with bond, but somehow it would seem to me, can we tie these names here into something that is more reflective, exactly what we're trying to do here, say this is the replacement truck or this is the mortgage on this building, rather than hiding behind what I think is hiding behind general LT debt account group of $2 million. Over here it's called a general obligation bond of $2 million. And so I think we could help ourselves, and I'm not suggesting what they should be, but I think we could help ourselves follow from this, which supports this, which hopefully this gives everybody the picture they want, but they need to know, as you're saying, really what it is. You know, and people understand that mortgage, we owe money on this building. Well, General LT Debt Accounting Group doesn't say mortgage to me, and I really have to dig to find out that's his hourly station.
So I guess I talked to Rosie a little bit about this, and I think we've come up with a plan that might address exactly, I mean, it's a perfect segue into what I'd like to suggest to the board, and Rosie's amenable to this. I've checked it out with her, in order to get the most bang for our buck with regard to expenditures of her time, she said she would be willing to come in at a board meeting, and so the public would also have an opportunity to take in this presentation, but to do a presentation that addresses exactly that, what the financial statements, the balance sheet, the PML, any other questions on how financial statements are put together, and it would be a perfect opportunity to take the most advantage of her rate, so to speak, and spread it out across a lot of people for training purposes. And if there are any questions, then there'd be that board interaction instead of one-on-one. And so we'd kill multiple birds with one stone. It also provide an opportunity for the public to see that. But now, in terms of changing that nomenclature a lot, I had a discussion with her in that regard too. We have more latitude here to tie, but some of the nomenclature that's on the balance sheet, the P&L and so on, it's bars related nomenclature. And so if you start changing those things, you reduce that institutional transparency within CPAs. And so there is logic in the CPA world as to that nomenclature and the bars accounting system and so on. There is a little bit of latitude to change it, but there are some standards that they abide by. So if Rosie were to leave us tomorrow, we had a new CPA that came in
right
to do this work, the new CPA could pick that up and run with it.
So Nick, to address your issue, in the attachment page to this with the explanations, we could say in there that this is labeled as this in our budget. And then that way they could identify it in the budget and understand that it says general obligation bond. But what that is, it's a mortgage on the building that people are paying taxes into, that it will sunset on this date. And you can find that in our budget under LT.
And that is fine, and I approve that. We somehow have to make it transparent for the public, so the Rosetta Stone is something that anybody that we're giving this public information relates to this and this in a way that is understandable and easily.
Yeah, I think we can tie it all together in that explanation.
And that's the point I'm trying to make. I don't know quite how to do it, and I understand the limitations, although the lady I talked to at Great Falls said, in her, you know, the bars is the actual account numbers. She thought that the ability to change a title could be, but whatever the case is, we need to come with this Rosetta Stone to say, here's the translation from accounting to mortgages, or, you know, that, if that's what the public understands.
Well, I guess I would suggest that Rosie make her presentation, and then if there are those questions, she would be the CPA, she's doing the work.
Sure.
So I would feel more comfortable in letting her address some of those questions and her reasoning behind that. And if there is latitude, she would be the one who would know what latitude there is in changing the nomenclature.
Maybe we can do that early in the new year, Harbor Command, and when we get this tuned up, like we're getting darn close to a final here.
I guess while we're on that, so I was going to wait till trustee or not, but I guess we could consider, if ever we have chief review in January. And so I guess I would suggest, you know, that we perhaps look at February. She's amenable to
sold. Chuck, anything from you?
I like it. I do agree strongly with the fact that we should have a second page that gives a brief synopsis of what each bucket's purpose and function is to the public for transparency. I like that idea a lot. But the current setup, I think, is pretty cool.
Yeah. Do you feel like you have enough information to take it to the next version? Well, what we're looking for, we're bringing up.
Okay. Yeah, and I think so. Jason, are you amenable to looking up the kind of a standard? And we could talk about it. You and I can talk about it.
Yeah, I just made a note about it, and I'll figure out some kind of way to.
I can talk to Rosie about the changing the chart in the center.
But you're just looking at a formula for building repairs, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Right. That's all. Right. I just want to make sure I had it.
And I think there's probably something out there that was, you know, 1% of structure value or some sort of
Yeah, I can. I think between the county and the city of Bozeman, I can come up with a reasonable way of figuring that out.
One of their facilities people or something. Yeah. I'm sure there's a formula out there for that.
And then that chart looks like the bathtub chart. Here's what we should be putting in. Here's what we are putting in.
Right.
Great. Exactly.
Then we'll work on the addendum to the dashboard, the explanations.
Perfect. I'm happy to help with that if you need it. And I really like Nick's idea about making these dark borders around things, you know, these are just cosmetic changes.
Yeah, sure, that makes sense.
But they make sense, and again, you know, this document can be continuously improved. If we find some of the information is not particularly useful or we want something else, we should just feel free to do that. Is there any public comment on the financial dashboard? Any more board discussion? Okay, you, sir, are here to talk about
insurance.
And your name is?
I'm Sean Peterson with Payne West.
Welcome, Sean. Thank you for coming.
I apologize for being late.
No worries.
I wish I could blame it on the roads or something, but
they're pretty dry.
You're coming to tell us it's all free this year. That's what I've
not been. Free, but at least I get to say it as we go home. We'll start right on that subject here. Let me get
free.
I'm not gonna. You have essentially two parts or two policies. You've got an accident policy and then your property and casualty policy. From a pricing standpoint, your expiring accident policy was $10,479. The renewal with the same coverage is a little bit less. It's $10,316. Your property casualty, and I'll preface this a little bit with it's a little less as well, but I'm surprised, a little bit surprised at that, though fire departments are a little bit and a lot different than other marketplaces out there. But in my world where I deal with commercial insurance, and what I specialize in is property, liability, auto, work comp, from an industry-wide pricing, what we're typically seeing is auto rates going up fairly dramatically. And that's been, I'd say, at least the last year and a half to 2 years. And if you're business or even personal insurance, we're seeing those auto rates go up. The reason I'm hearing from the industry is their loss ratios are really, really bad in auto, nationwide, industry-wide, and the reasons they're giving for that are twofold. Distracted driving and just the cost of vehicles. They're so much more technologically advanced. You know, you mess up a bumper on a truck right now and it's $3,500 or whatever the number is. It's just significantly more because they've got sensors and cameras and all that good stuff in it. So anyway, that just kind of stated the industry a little bit, but on your property and casualty portion, your expiring premium was $27,018. Renewal is $26,840. So again, we didn't market it this year. Last year, I think it's been 3 years before it. So we were looking at marketing it last year, and when we got the renewal in from BFIS, board said, nah, let's not, you know, the renewal with BFIS is good. I think it was really flat that year as well. And there are not a lot of markets that write volunteer fire departments. BFIS, I think, is the best that there is out there. McNeil and Company, they write some nationwide, and they think they're the best, but in my opinion, they're more expensive and not typically better. I've got one fire department with them, and that one got mad at BFIS several years back. We are marketing a fire department, and we'll check some. We just marketed one, and then we got a general agent that said, "Yeah, we've got a market." So I'll be interested to see. I'll be surprised to see if they even come close to competing with VFIS. But if they do, I will certainly bring that to your guys' attention well before renewal. When we typically start the renewal process, which are renewal date 1-1, I think, and we usually start in September is when we get the renewal questionnaires from the carrier and get them to Jason and, are you?
Lana.
Okay, yeah, so Angie got the applications to you guys, and so yes, once we get those, then we get it to the company, and so I'll know well in advance. I mean, this other one renews in April that we're starting to market now, so I'll know if we've got any other or better markets. I don't know how much or any, what questions you have.
I have one.
Shoot.
Is the insurance industry doing anything to address distracted driving other than raising their rates? Because like for a volunteer fire department or a fire department, probably no distracted driving accidents, for instance, other than the other driver.
Sure, sure.
So thereby, why should their rates go up because of that?
And I guess maybe that's why yours aren't. I mean, like I say, all other industries, I'm seeing rates going up in the auto, and not yours, which is a little bit surprising, but companies like VFIS might be more in tune to that. But in answer to your question, probably not. And what I mean by that is, yes, I'm seeing industries that address it in a couple of ways.
Well, I'm just like, if it's raising the rates for every insured driver, why not? I mean, just this is just me talking
to
the insurance industry. You know, why not? If there's proof that the driver was distracted by a phone, say, then the insurance company puts a limit on the amount that they're covered, and the driver covers the rest. You know, I mean,
sure.
To bring rates back into.
A couple of things, I guess, what you're describing there, again, like I insure lots of businesses. I'll give you an example. I've got a good friend that has a distributing business, and they have which the insurance industry is pushing. We want you to have a distracted driving policy, like don't do it, you know, in writing, in their employee handbook and such. And I think this is where part of where this is going to go, but I was telling him, I said, you know, there are all kinds of things out there now. I mean, some very sophisticated and very expensive, and some not so much, where you can tell that your employee was on the phone, or you know, all these, or your phone or your vehicle will become disabled if you try. It will not allow you to start the truck up. Yeah. So anyway, and he said, you know, his point was, well, son of a gun, I tell them not to do it, they're not supposed to do it, and yet they do it, and I'm supposed to pay for all this stuff. And I said, well, here's the problem. We're getting a little off track, but here's the problem is, if you're not buying that stuff, trust me, down the road here, it's going to come down to, you know, my husband and wife and family or whom were killed because your driver was, and if you had just spent $100 a vehicle, that could have never happened. So there's, and then, but to yours not cover, I certainly wouldn't want my buddy and his business to be at risk because an employee didn't fail to, so there's both, you know, there's, you know what I'm saying? If he's got $1 million policy and the insurance company says, we're not paying more than $500,000, if that was a distracted driving case, then who's hurt there? It's the employer. It's not the employee that was
disabled. Well, mine more is like for firefighters driving trucks. Obviously, I'm pretty sure that no one's texting and driving. Where is I going to go with this? So a little better rate for that versus, like, say, a student who's a straight-A student, first-year driver, gets a little better rate. Or when you turn 25, you get a little better rate because...
So a better rate for what? For
the fire department. For not, you know, I mean...
Okay, yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm surprised that your industry, at least right now, we're not seeing that they're being impacted by that. That's probably because you're right. I mean,
they're not.
They've been doing this. Yeah. Any questions? I mean, I'm happy to answer any questions coverage-wise.
Other board questions?
I'm personally uncomfortable without an increase in our cost and think we should consider a different agent.
Do you like insurance?
We just pay him more.
I think that's the first client I've ever had. We're the free guys.
Sean, could you just swoop by at 30,000 feet and give us an overview of our coverage on those two policies? Just very high level.
Sure. So let's talk about we've got Gooch Hill, Cottonwood Road, Third Avenue. We've got the buildings. Let's see that it's got a total here from, but so I've got one's about a $500,000 building, one that's 3 million here. One's at 220, and one's at 292. And then we've got contents in each of those. We've got, I don't think you want me to go through each of the trucks, but no. We've got general liability, $1 million per occurrence with a $10 million aggregate. We have some what we call management liability, which is directors and officers and employment practices kind of coverage. We've got an umbrella here too.
The
umbrella of $5 million. So that rides on top of general liability and auto liability. So one of the trucks rear ends somebody and hurts them bad, or God forbid kills them, you've got that $1 million, because it's $1 million per occurrence. An aggregate just means that's the most they pay in a year. So we've got that $1 million plus another $5 million, so that you'd have $6 million worth of coverage for that incident, and then you're not without insurance because you have an aggregate. So you have that $6 million claim, and the next day you have another $6 million, and then you're done, and you're without coverage. So that's that. You have the accident policy, and I'm not an expert on accident policies because they're fairly rare in my world. Most of the time you see accident policies for nonprofits, or in your guys' case, the reason you have an accident policy is because you have work comp, which you're required to have for the volunteers, and I want to say it's like for each person on your roster, it's $80 worth of payroll, and it's $83 worth of payroll. So if you were to have a volunteer get hurt, they'd have little to nothing. They have great, if there is such a thing, great health care. They have great coverage for their bodily injury, but they wouldn't have any money, or because that work comp benefit is based on $80 a month. So do the math. They're not going to have any income to replace that. So accident policy goes to help there.
More board discussion.
Yeah, question on, is this something that came up at a recent training that we attended with regard to liability concerns, litigation that may occur due to somebody's complaint about open meeting violations or, those types of issues, those types of liability concerns. What's our coverage?
Good question. That's not going to be a general liability coverage. So,
does that fall under management?
Yes. Yes. And management liability is also, as I said, kind of called directors and officers. And the way that I explain that typically, and I'm just going to look here to see if they give you any. The taxpayer group brings suit against their fire district and its commissioners alleging the improper spending of public funds. So that whether you didn't hold a meeting properly probably would be considered in that kind of same kind of thing. But I explain that directors and officers portion as decision insurance. Anytime you have a stakeholder, and that stakeholder could be a member of the public, could be an employee of the fire department, could be who, that says, board or trustees, you've wronged me, and I'm suing you for it, then that's where that coverage comes into play.
So what you're saying, I guess that's my follow-up question with regard to indemnification of individual trustees. I mean, where, I guess that's always a concern when I talk to people about potentially becoming yes. involved as a trustee on a board like this.
Right.
That those that level of indemnification, is that
that's
something
what that's for?
Right.
And that's a good question. Whether it's in this arena or any kind of a nonprofit arena, savvy board members, as they're being approached, or potential board members, that's one of the first questions they'll typically ask. They'll say, oh, you want me to serve on this fire department board, or this hospital board, or my personal assets could be at risk doing that. Do you have D&O insurance? And if the answer is no, then they're oftentimes, no, I don't know.
So in our particular case, in our specific case, if somebody were to ask that question, we are in fact covered in that area.
Correct.
For how much? I mean, what would be?
So it's the $1 million plus then the umbrella up to the $5 million.
So that million plus the six would
right.
be?
Okay.
We've had that for a long time.
Yeah. Good questions.
More board discussion? Any public comment? Juana, are we supposed to do anything here?
So where we're at is we just need your okay to order the renewal, and Juana wanted me to come here and explain it and get that.
Right. You want a motion?
Yes.
Motion to renew Payne West policy, insurance policy for Highlight Rural Fire District.
Second?
I will second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you very much, Sean.
Thank you.
Have a very Merry Christmas.
You have a Merry Christmas as well. I left you a couple calendars. I'm not sure if we need any signatures or anything. If we do, I'll have Angie forward that to you and if you can get that.
But we'll have a copy of that as well, right?
You have.
Okay.
Yeah, we do have the renewals, but we'll get the entire
policy
when...
Okay.
So yeah, we'll order it, and they'll give us the policy. We check it in, and get it.
It's the only reason I go to my State Farm annual insurance review is to get the roadmap. Calendars here. I'm just saying, you get up your game, my friend. All right, fire chief support.
Are you done?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, John.
Great. Thanks.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
You too.
Glad to see the color of the truck has been determined.
I want a yellow.
Questions on the chief's report for the chief?
December. So a couple things I'll just point out is we did have our Christmas party on the 7th. In case you're out and about, the Triple Tree Homeowners Association did very generously donate the use of their what do they call it? Community room or
owner's center?
Yeah, owner's center. It was a great location to have it, and it worked out wonderfully. We couldn't get the Lindley Park place like we usually do. It just got booked up too quickly.
That's a better one.
But this worked out really well, and they bent over backwards to
nice.
To be accommodating to us. So we're obviously doing something okay over there. Also, once again, I think this is maybe the third or fourth year they've done it. Roth at Montana Ale Works donated our entire dinner.
That's
they brought the food out, and it was top notch.
Yeah.
So
you would
if
like
you,
letters of thanks from the board, Juana will draft them, and we will sign them.
Yep. So incredibly generous. Roth is does live in our district, he lives on Buffalo Berry. So very
That's
nice
great.
Of him to do that again. And we don't even ask. They call us and say, hey, can we do your dinner again?
Wow. That's awesome, Jason.
Yep. Yeah. So that was good. Our night with Santa was pretty tremendous this year. Lana ordered 100. I think last year we had 75 gingerbread houses. Lana ordered 100 and we ran out. We were able to go get more on the fly, but obviously that's becoming a more and more popular event. And Lana got Ken Howe from the Camera Club of Bozeman to come out, and he took pictures, and we were able to send them to people by email. And it was great.
Doing that
so the gingerbread houses you give away, is that the...
Yeah, so that the kids can build them.
And decorate them while they're here.
Got it.
Yeah, so we usually set up this room as our main decorating room, and then Al Scholes, who's retired assistant chief for Bozeman Fire, dresses up in a Santa suit, and we take pictures in front of the fire truck with a Christmas tree. But it's getting too tight in here. So I think we've decided next year we'll pull more trucks out and just set up all the tables out there, more pancake breakfast style, and let the kids go crazy.
What a great community relations event.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's good. It's getting better every year, so, yeah.
And how does that event, how does it work out financially? Do we get some donations?
No.
Or is it a cost?
We do not seek out donations for those events. That is pure community outreach.
And what does that typically cost the department to do that?
I'm thinking $1,000. Mm-hmm. Maybe.
It's pretty nominal.
Yeah. It's mainly the gingerbread houses, mm-hmm. and then those are like $8 a piece, yeah. And then some cookies and stuff.
So very nominal compared to the exposure that the department's getting.
Very nominal.
The ROI is good.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, and the parents are, everybody who leaves is like, thank you so much for doing this, because it saves them going to the mall to take pictures with Santa, and the kids are just entertained for the night. So,
well, I think the other, when you look at it from an investment standpoint in terms of producing goodwill for the department, at $1,000, if you compare that to what it would cost to generate publications that we might mail out or that sort of thing, we're getting a lot of exposure for $1,000. There's
absolutely
a lot of goodwill being generated there, and a lot of opportunity for the community to speak with staff and so on, find out what's going on, what kind of services we can provide. Very good opportunity.
So one last thing I have, it's not on my chief's report because it's new, is tomorrow at 1 p.m. in the community room at the courthouse, they're having a going away party for Steve White.
Oh.
So 1 p.m. tomorrow, if you guys have the time to stop by. And thanks, Steve. And for those board members who don't know, I think you all do, Steve was pretty instrumental in the consolidation process. I don't think we would have ever gotten our deed for that Ray building straightened out if it weren't for Steve.
He did some heavy lifting.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah, his work with the Trunk family.
Yeah, big time. So it definitely worth it. I'll be there. So if you guys are there,
1 o'clock.
1 o'clock.
Yeah, I'll be out of town.
1 to 4, isn't it?
What's that? 1 to 4, yeah.
So, not on your chief's report, but this would probably be a good time to discuss it. So, wanted to get an update on. So, you've submitted an invoice to the county, to Jim Doerr, with regard to your time. And so, I guess the other thing I wanted to see, how much time, in terms of cleanup, is being allocated towards those remaining county efforts on grants and that sort of thing. I know that you're working on some of that stuff. How much of your time is being used for those types of efforts?
I don't understand.
Well, time you doing 911 type of work,
since the end of the contracted period of time.
Correct.
Oh, I don't know. I'm still helping Jim out a little here and there, but it's pretty. It's not taking away from my time here. Yeah.
So you don't feel as though there's any compromise? I guess my question is, my concern is that I guess I want to be aware of any costs that Highlight taxpayers are bearing And I understand it's a effort that needs to be pursued by the county, but I am a little bit concerned that if we spend too much of our resource on any of their endeavors relative to the expenditures that are made by the remaining residents of Gallatin County, you know, relative to Highlight residents. Just want to make sure that we're cognizant of that trade-off.
Yeah.
And I know that it's a team effort, and I understand
yeah.
that.
No, I don't think there's any, I don't think that you're in a deficit condition at this point with your taxpayers. I mean, most of it is stuff, you know, I'm working on at night at my house, writing language for RFP stuff, and yeah, it's not significant at all.
Yeah, trust me, he's here a lot.
The honeymoon's over.
The honeymoon's over. Juana's like, please go back. More board discussion. Anything else, Chief?
No.
Just D activities. Nick, where you been? What you been doing?
Well, I
get this report for us here.
Well, that's actually Walt that's done the heavy lifting on that. I would say one quick thing that you made that dinner sound so good. I was wondering if they would have, you know, we were doing the heavy lifting for the department up there in Great Falls at your invitation. Where's our gift certificate for a meal down at, you know, for Walt and I, because we missed the parties on that night. So maybe we ought to slip in an extra. Well, never
mind. I did. Walls. There were some leftover ribs, and I did put them in a Ziploc baggie and put them in the freezer. So I'll be happy to microwave them for you after the meeting.
And I do want to apologize to Nick, too. I misspelled his name on the. I think all in all, I thought it was a great seminar. There were some great presentations, lots of food for thought. And I think a lot of what was presented, I mean, I think this department, you know, and it's clear that we're benefiting from Jason's leadership in that area in terms of creating a culture and some of the things that this board has done to put the resources in place. Administrative assistant and our CPA and so on. I think, and the robustness of our process. I mean, the presentations that were made with regard to creating the culture, financial, management. I think a lot of those things we have in place. There are perhaps a couple of things that we may want to explore a little bit further. A couple of those, I guess, since I'm involved in trustee or treasurer stuff, you know, I think some of the things that one of the things I'd like to do is have, and we discussed this earlier, have Rosie come in and explain the balance sheet and explain the P&L and that sort of thing. I think that's something that we could probably improve our efforts in. I think one of the interesting topics that came up, and I know there's contention in this area, Dan Clark from the MSU Local Government Center made a presentation. It's a great presentation. I've heard part of his talks before, and I think some of our board members, and Jason probably was there when Ray and Sourdough, and I think Pete was probably there when we had Dan give a presentation at Anderson School years ago, six years ago, somewhere in there. But one of the things that came up in that discussion is establishment of committees, subcommittees to do work. And one of the things he suggested is that we may want to exercise a little bit more caution in the establishment of subcommittees. And not necessarily that subcommittees are bad, but that we perhaps may want to consider noticing some of those efforts and letting the public know if the committee is going to get together.
Like we are on Friday.
Like yes, exactly, that we may want to
I think that's not being noticed at it, Nick's suggestion.
Because mm-hmm. yeah. I think he has a valid concern. I think one of the points, I mean, what's his statement? I think I highlighted here, if you know, that, and that's one of the reasons I asked that question with regard to liability coverage in that area. I mean, we can do the best we can. We're a volunteer board, but we do the best we can. And with the information that's available to us, and Jason tries to, like he likes to say, you know, let us know when we might be delving into an area that might cause some problems. And so I think, you know, we try to be cognizant of that. And but when you make a mistake, you know, there were some examples that were cited by the Great Falls attorney, and he said that, you know, you violate some of these things, and all of a sudden somebody from the community, you know, they initiate a lawsuit, and if they're successful, he says, you know, pick your favorite integer and start adding zeros.
I like that.
And it's a, and so I think that's something that we need to bear in mind in that regard. And everybody, I think, that's sitting at this table is interested in transparency. And I think, you know, that's something that maybe we can improve upon, is that...
No, I think that's right. That's what stood out just reading through this. We are a little casual about subcommittees just because we're trying to get stuff done, but...
Mm-hmm. Well, which I agree with everything, but we don't make decisions in subcommittees.
Well, here's the example that I brought up, is let's say you're doing this policy thing, and the board... has they're the governing body, and then the board creates what they refer to as a sub-government by creating that subcommittee. So it becomes a sub-government. So that sub-government entity, when they start, say, looking at that policy stuff, and they make decisions as to language and recommendations to the board through their interactions, that comes back to the board, and the board's likely to take action on their recommendations. They've actually, in some ways, have influenced the direction of that discussion and decision-making process. And so that's where you can run into, again, it's all the lawyer stuff, you can run into some level of culpability there.
We even asked, or I asked the question, if we had two board members, the fire chief or a member of the public on the committee, and the committee is formed by the board, what's the deal? I said, we don't have to do this. Terms of having notice and minutes and so on. And the answer from two different people, I can't remember who the second one was no. It's sub-government down the line. Now, if we did something else differently, had somebody in the public and then picked up one or two of us and something else that's coming from the bottom up, probably less scrutiny. Mm-hmm. Then the recommendation comes in. So the perception I understand is, and I think Walt's explained it quite well, is that if it comes this way down, better watch out. If it comes, if we can constitute and say, would such and such, you know, would you be willing to form a committee and investigate such and such for us and bring it to the board? And we'd like one of our board members to be on or something, would be fine. That'd be all right. Or even two board members, there's no quorum. But coming the other way, two board members and somebody else, formed by the board, no. Didn't have to be a quorum of three, even two, but it's being formed in that direction. This is the way I understood it. That what you said.
Right. It's the formation of the sub-government. Yep.
That was me.
And I think it was the Cascade assistant county attorney who was the other person that weighed in on that.
Yeah, that's who it was.
Right. And I didn't quite get his life. I believe it was Joe Sick or something. And he left before I had an opportunity to visit with him in between.
Nick, what was your impression of this compared to the Fairmont program?
In overall scope, you know, the idea of risk, of legal, and of governance. The governance, the risk, and the legal, those three topics, that seems to be the same theme for both of those kinds of things. I think what I liked about this one, besides it's less expensive, is that the use of Dan Clark and the local government through the extension, as well as the fire training school, which is an extension, is a known quantity for telling things the best we understand how to tell them, with no kinds of commercial message to go with it. For example, the guy that did the risk management happened to be BFI insurance guy. I'm not selling insurance, he says. Well, I don't think he was selling insurance. He didn't say buy our insurance, but he made some know, from his experiences, these are some kinds of things that happen. So I think, I don't know, I think there's lots of good information in both of them. I guess if I were to go again, if I had to pick one to go to, I don't know, I guess at this point, maybe because this is a refresher, maybe I would. But I don't know. It was pretty close to sixes, though, in some ways. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think they both have some pieces of information that help cement things, and so it was really worthwhile.
Yeah, I think one of the other issues that was touched upon too that is the reply all on emails, and I think I'm as guilty as everybody else on that one, and I think we do, and I can honestly say that this board has never pursued with intent any activities where we've tried to basically create a rolling meeting. I can honestly say we've never done that. But even though our intent is not, and if somebody were to pursue a lawsuit, every email that, and that's one of the reasons we have emails with the department instead of using our personal emails, because then upon discovery, if you use your personal email, every email that's in your personal stream is subject to review in the discovery process when they look, first of all. But going back to this rolling meeting issue, we probably want to be very careful moving forward in the future. As innocuous, you know, a reply all that we're going to the Christmas party, you probably want to be careful about any discussion that could be perceived as a, you know, kind of a rolling discussion, a rolling meeting of any sort, and that would open us up to, you know, potential scrutiny by somebody who wished to pursue a lawsuit. You know, I think as chair, I think the way he described it, if as chair, you know, you have five people at the board sitting at a table. If you go up to each individual and you ask, Nick, what do you think on this issue? And Nick can maybe, if I'm paraphrasing this incorrectly or representing it incorrectly, you can fill in the holes. And come, Nick, what do you think on this issue? You know, you can get that information. Come up to me, you can say, well, what do you think on that issue? That's fine. You can come to Chuck and ask him what he thinks on that issue. That's all fine. But if you come up to Nick and say, what do you think on that issue? You come over to me and you say, well, Nick thinks that this is where we should go on this issue. What do you think? And then you go over to Chuck and say, well, Nick says, you know, he thinks that we should do this. Walt thinks he should do that. What do you think, Chuck? And you bring it around. That's the example, the blatant example, you said, of a, you know, generating. Right, exactly. Yeah. Even though that's not a reply all type of rolling meeting, it's still a rolling meeting.
Right.
One of the things I thought of when you talked about the email and when you poll the board to see whether we would pay Brian extra in the absence of the chief. And it was sort of done in an open meeting. You know, we all had the answer before that. And I think that was sort of borderline in my mind, wondering. And I think I also asked you another time, I said, well, you know, reply just to you. And so I mean, my thing is, I think, great, any one of us could ask something, you know, and ask for information or suggest or whatever, but I think the best to then reply to that individual.
Yeah.
And so there's no chance of the rolling meeting. And
no, it's so easy with email. Mm-hmm.
It is. Oh, yeah. Right. So like, I'm as guilty as
ever. Fixed in like 45 seconds.
Right. Exactly. No. Yeah.
That's points well taken, for sure.
And I thought one of Leonard Lundby, I think Jason knows Leonard, he's kind of the Montana legislative liaison. He presented some information on bills that the Montana Fire Alliance is keeping an eye on. There are a couple of interesting ones that he highlighted. Right now they've got, I think, around 50 bills that they're watching. He said likely to be more by the time the session starts. But a couple of the high points, and it was interesting listening to Sean's presentation on the workers' comp issue. But one bill that they're looking at, HB 31, it's with regard to, and Jason might be able to fill in the blanks on some of these too, DNRC fire assessment fees, SB 17, regional fire authorities, and I don't, Jason, do you know what that's?
I think the fire authority issue, I believe that's being pushed by Central Valley and Chief Lindroth.
Well, there's another bill that they're talking about that's being pushed by Belgrade, and they refer to it as SB 20, Municipality Formation of Fire Service Areas. And I don't know why they want to address fire service areas, but he did say, and I don't know, maybe I do you recall, Nick, on that one?
I remember the discussion, but I didn't follow that very well.
But there was, and he did mention Belgrade on that one. I didn't have a chance to visit with him.
I don't know. I'm not sure about that one. The fire authority thing is, there's no legal course in the state to create a fire authority as there are in other states. Like, fire authorities are pretty common in Colorado. It's basically a way of consolidating multiple fire jurisdictions into one fire authority. And the difference is, in a fire authority, basically, you can have different rates of taxation in those areas. Unlike a standard consolidation where you have, like with Ray at Sourdough, where it's one rate of taxation throughout.
So it would make consolidation easier, and if you had something, if there was,
it can make the initial consolidation easier. But however, it can create a real state of inequity once it's created, because people say, "Well, why am I paying more tax dollars than so and so?" And they seem to have, they got the new fire station, and you can see how that can go sideways. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the two last bills that he kind of highlighted kind of address that question that came up with regard to insurance. There's a bill, SB 29 is a bill, and I think they've been working on this a couple times, workers' comp for volunteers. And the last bill that's related to that, so if that bill were to be approved, that's one question I did get a chance to ask him in the hallway. I said, I mean, are you creating an unfunded mandate when you do that? It's obviously something that could be challenged. And or not administratively applied, it would just sit there. And so one course of action that they're considering is this HB 28, which would be establishment of a fireworks tax, and they're looking at a 5% proposed fireworks tax. And they don't even know, the state has no idea for sure how much money, what the total revenues are in the state with regard to fireworks sales. And the other interesting thing that may happen with that is, if they did implement it, sovereign nations such as all the reservations would not be, so where would the fireworks go? More so than now. So yeah, it's going to be an interesting
fireworks.
Interesting debate.
One thing related to this watch list businesses, I think there must be a website, or is there a listserv you can get on so that you as a staff or we as a board can get updates on that? Is that something we already do? I mean, I wasn't aware of it, and I don't know if there's anything there.
On what? I'm sorry.
There's a website you can get on
for bills
to the legislature, and you can say type in HB 205, and every time something happens to that, you'll get a notification that it's come out of committee or been.
And I don't, maybe Jason sees this, but the Montana Fire Alliance is and I don't know exactly, if you look up Montana Fire Alliance, or you could even call Leonard Lundby, and you could get, I'm sure if you did a Google search real quick, you'd get their email address or their website address. And they are tracking all of those bills that are of interest to fire departments.
It hasn't been frequent over the years I've served on these boards, but it has been more than a few occasions we've actually gone and testified, some trustees have.
And, we did a consolidation.
Yeah, to get that consolidation bill, mm-hmm. even before that and some stuff. So it's not, it's worth paying attention to. Mm-hmm. So.
The other thing I thought that we were doing a good job with, when there was a discussion, part of Dan's presentation on minutes. And if a board, that's one thing I think we're doing a perfect job on based on what he said, if a board has decided to make the recorded minutes the minutes of record, you still are obligated to do just exactly what you're doing now. And so I think we're right on target in terms of meeting that bar, the written synopsis and the timestamp and so on. I think we're right on target on that one.
So the Montana Fire Alliance does have a legislative watch list. Mm-hmm. It's up.
I can't.
Go to their website. What's that?
I couldn't read that.
Let me hear. I'll make it bigger.
I think the other presentation that I thought was really good was Jane Ellis. She's retired from the Missoula County. She was a finance officer there. And I thought her presentation was really good with regard to financial issues. And I visit with her in the hallway. Well, Nick and I both did. And I think, you know, a lot of what we're doing is just right on target, especially in light of the last discussion that occurred during the day, the panel discussion before the video presentations. But listening to some of the problems that other departments, and obviously they have more limits on their financial resources than we do, but the robustness of our financial management system, and I think, you know, our audit attested to that, is, you know, right up there with any municipality in the state, I think, you know. I think some of the points that she made, you know, it's not your money, trust but verify, and ask questions. I mean, you know, I think what Nick asked, you know, and I think that what Rosie can do for us to, you know, provide better understanding of balance sheets and the terminology and all that stuff, and any member of the public who's interested in that, I think those are great things for this board to do.
The first class in accounting must be a lesson in how not to speak the English language. I'm totally with Nick on that. It's like, Jesus, just call it what the hell it is. Mm-hmm. Did you guys have highlight fire identification things, little name tags or something? Hmm. Do you want something like that?
Oh, we do have, actually. We do have tags. Well, I don't know if Nick does. Nick probably doesn't have one.
That's my...
That'd be nice to have when we're out going to these things, just so you have some identification.
So, and let me ask a question. Do you have your own, or?
Yeah, we were provided little magnetic ones.
I know, but you have them. They're not kept here.
Yes, no, we have them. We have them individually.
All right.
So Nick and Justin probably.
Yeah. Do you have one, Pete?
It says treasurer on it or something.
Okay.
And it's like in my glove box somewhere. You should probably keep it here.
So. Yeah. Okay. And then I have one clarification. So for noticing the subcommittee meetings, does that need to be noticed in the newspaper or just the website?
No, I think it needs to be noticed like any other meeting, because that's regular.
It would be odd if we did standard, it the way that we did it every time.
Yeah, whatever the standard notification procedure.
So we noticed that meeting this week?
Not in the paper, no.
You want to just postpone the meeting then and do it some other time?
Oh, it's fine with me if you... I don't care.
What do you guys want to do?
It's up to you guys, I think.
Friday, whatever Friday it is, it's a good day. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday are not good days for me. So
I don't know. Whatever you guys want to do.
Could you... What's the notice? Is 24 or 48 hours?
48.
So can we get it in tomorrow? No, one more.
Probably can't get it in this Friday.
No. Sorry.
Well, boys, what do you think?
It is on. It's been on the website.
I would do. I would
it's on the website.
To,
yeah, and I was
I would
going
be open
to post
a week from Friday.
No, that puts it.
That's 3 days after.
So is it noticed?
Why don't we do this? I'll bring my phone and we'll record it, and I'll send that recording to you so you can do your thing with that. And let's just go ahead and do it.
Is it Friday?
Yeah. It's on the website. It's noticed, I feel like.
Is it noticed on the board out here?
Check 2 out of 3 boxes.
I'm going to put those up in the morning.
Because I'd like to not just punt, and we got to find another date. And
that's fine.
Blah, blah, blah. Okay.
And there is enough liability, we'll say, the president of the organization.
Exactly.
I got $6 million.
So I think the final thing to take away from that meeting, and I thought... we stayed for the videos that were presented at the end, the training videos, and kind of feather in the cap for highlight there. I mean, highlight resources, John Culbertson, and I'm sure you guys are, everybody was involved in that. I know highlight firefighters, I'm sure all the staff, and putting all that together, and our apparatus training center, John Culbertson, and
so
Brian Crandall.
So we're a feature piece? Is that what we are?
We, for all the new training videos, for all the tactics for the fire school, it's all us at our training building.
And they're very good.
and John actually pay our volunteers, like put them on the payroll for the fire school and pay them for their time.
Wow.
So it's a good opportunity for them to make a little extra money too.
Yeah, they're very professional. Yeah, they're good.
That's great. And one of our guys filmed it too.
Every time I go to a training thing, I'm blown away, but that really blew me away, and I tried to scratch my head and think, where has that appeared in the chief's report? Because you were mentioned as being the person that made this happen, and to me, that is something that ought to be just headlines and stars and bright colors. It's in the chief's report, and it should be on the website for the public, and the video should be on the website for our public to see the kind of level of work that's going on. And it was great to see these trucks with highlight fire on it and all of the procedures and so on. I mean, we're so far ahead in so many ways based on what I heard that these two meetings I went to and the work that's going on here. And it's making me think that maybe we ought to just have one of our board positions be a publicist or something to make sure this stuff gets out to our public, because that's, face it, these are the people that are going to pay for a new station when we got so much building down here on Huffine Lane that we're going to have more stuff. And the more we get this out there, I think the better off we are. So it's sort of admonishment, Chief. I wished you would say that we worked with these people that did that. I mean, I really think we need this. We need to let people know that good work. So, I didn't, that, you know, and I, of course, dumb me, I don't know John that well, and I thought, God, that guy's familiar. You know, he let me in the door one day, and I said, who is this guy? And finally, I realized after the meeting what the deal was. And I'm just, you know, I'm just astounded. It's being kept a secret. Why? And it shouldn't be a secret. I mean, it wasn't meant to be a secret, but that's... I think we need to publish
that. Jason's a humble man. He's a humble man. Next year.
Okay. Yeah,
great job.
Anything else on that? Thank you guys for attending. Really appreciate that. Appreciate your report. Any public comment on trustee activity? Okay, announcements. Next board meeting?
So, not that it'll matter too much if you have a quorum, but... there's a pretty good chance that I won't be back by the 15th.
I will be out of town on the 15th.
I gotta get to my calendar.
20 seconds, fine with me.
20 seconds works for me.
So what you're saying is there are two no's, but there could be a quorum of three here.
22nd, still Tuesday.
We can have Lana send an email to see how the 15th works, but
two out of the three of us won't be here.
But 22nd, you can do electronic.
I will be. Where will I be?
Yeah, it's going to be tough.
I'll be flying.
Yeah, and I'll be in a situation where my phone service will be pretty limited.
You want to send out an email to the board and see who can make the 15th?
Well, I do, as a reminder, we do have, at that board meeting, we're scheduled to do chief review, and I guess my preference from this trustee's position would be that we have a full board.
Absolutely.
Chief review.
I agree.
I would think you might want to go then to the 22nd.
22nd work?
I'm good.
What about the 8th?
I'll be gone from tomorrow till sometime mid-January.
22nd. Going once? Going twice?
So, other announcement. Given that I'm going to be gone starting tomorrow, and I think Lana is aware of this now, but just so the rest of the trustees know, and I think Lana will be in contact, we'll need trustees come in for two check signing cycles.
So, three of them will be here this Friday. So I was going to adopt one of them, and then I can get the next one scheduled too.
Okay.
We're having a meeting at Friday, 8 to 9 or so, and then right. The checks are going to be ready at 9 then?
Yeah, they'll be here. The checks will be here.
So
either Chuck or...
Either
one of you would be great.
Yeah, it's a good opportunity to look that over, that process.
So on Friday, you're going to leave a folder with hard copies of the policies for us. I'll bring my laptop so we can make
it. Yes.
So one thing I wanted to ask Jason, we talked to Brian about it too, but the command vehicle replacement, do you guys have any idea when you'd like to make that presentation to the board in terms of the, is that something for January or do you wait that for February?
Yeah.
And I suggested it to Brian too, but I thought, you know, if you guys could bring, you know, because you have it in your replacement model, all, you know, that be
so
part of your presentation.
Agenda, let's have an executive session.
Okay. Are we adjourned?
We are adjourned.